All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs this morning. As we reflect upon Mother's Day, and we can look at an example here. The title of the message this morning is Mothers Making a Difference. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and chapter 31. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. Please stand with me as we read God's word. And so look to verse 10 there, and we'll read through to the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Let's pray. Father God, I pray you'd give us understanding this morning, that we might be encouraged to see the value of a godly woman, that we would, each of us as men here, those of us that are married, that we would see these qualities and appreciate them in our own wives, those that are seeking to be married, that these are the types of qualities that we might look for as someone who would bring tremendous value to the world around them and to make a difference for thee, Lord. We just ask that you would work in our hearts this morning, that we'd be encouraged to see this tremendous example. And Lord, just open the word to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. And so, Proverbs 31, I don't believe is a mystery passage to anyone. If you've been reading your Bible any length of time or studying it, you've come upon this particular proverb. And we see here in Proverbs 31 what I believe is the classic example of a diligent, faithful, exemplary wife and mother. And so, and I believe we understand this as well, in Christian circles, it's a special compliment to be referred to as a quote-unquote Proverbs 31 woman. And we see as we read through these different verses why that is. Now, Of course, any time that we provide a comparison, that can be a double-edged sword, because it can be an encouragement, but it can also be a discouragement. It can also be a source of pride. You know, because it can be very tempting to look at the example of this woman and begin comparing yourself, using her as some sort of a measuring stick. And we understand that that's not wise to do. You know, the Bible talks about those that are comparing themselves by themselves, and that they're not wise in doing that. And so, when we look at this testimony, like I said, it can bring out pride. If we look at, oh, well, look at that. I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. And we can become prideful in that. Also, you could look at that and go, well, I'm not doing that, and I'm failing there, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and oh boy, what am I really doing? You know, oh, I'm not measuring up, and it brings discouragement. And yet, the true value of her testimony is not the specific number or even the diversity of tasks that she performs. You notice that a lot of this, these are tasks that are laid out there. But rather, it's the heart that lies beneath. The tasks are just the leaves on the tree. And so I want to talk about the root of the tree this morning, because the root and source of her testimony is found in verse 30, where it says, "But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And so let's look at the foundational elements of her character. The most foundational being her focus on her Lord. And let's see how these elements manifest themselves in the ways that we see here in this very remarkable testimony. And then perhaps in looking at that, in these foundational values, we can recognize those in our lives that have demonstrated these values and see the importance of these values in our own lives. And so the first thing that we see here is wisdom and humility. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." And so she opens her mouth with wisdom. We know out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what this is pointing out here is that when she chooses to open her mouth, her heart has been prepared with wisdom. And so then, because what's inside is wise and measured and sober, then what comes out is a reflection of that when she opens her mouth. Now, that kind of wisdom only comes from God. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." And so, again, how do we obtain the wisdom of God? Well, first and foremost, you must be born again. You need to be trusting in God to know the wisdom of God. Because when we're outside of the family of God, the wisdom of God seems like foolishness to us. And we go the way of the world, the natural way, the way that seems right to us. And so I just briefly, you know, I'm always cautious about this. When we start talking about godly Christian character, that is a message that's for believers, for people who are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior, not for people who are trusting in their good works to please God. And so as I lay out these characteristics, the foundational element is to be in Jesus Christ. You must be born again. And so it begins with looking to Christ by faith, taking whatever things you may think you've done to please God, and recognize that when we're outside of Christ, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And that we turn from that. We stop trusting in what we're doing, and we look at what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. That's really step one, is salvation. And so the bulk of my message here, though, isn't a salvation message. It's for those who have been saved, who then are responding to God's love in their life as believers. And so when I say, I just always want to reiterate that, because I don't ever want to assume that everyone here is born again. There are many who are in confusion and put the cart before the horse. They put the works before the faith. And the faith must come first. And then when we have trusted in Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so what I'm preaching about this morning is the walking. That's after you've been born, and then you begin walking with God. And so she has this wisdom from God. She's looking to God, trusting in God. And so the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. James 3:17 says, "But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." And so this is the kind of wisdom that she has. And we see this in how she conducts herself. You'll notice that she's a married woman. She's a wife. She's married to a husband. And she has wisdom to understand that her value within her relationships, particularly her relationship as a wife, she understands what her value is in that role. And she's not struggling to rule or to usurp authority. And we see that here in verse 11 and 12. It says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." And that's a tremendous blessing. You know, each of us before God have a role to play. And there are so many pictures within our lives, temporal pictures, that demonstrate the need for us to be humble and to work within what God has given us. And so a wise woman like this is not seeking to be the head of her home. She's not seeking to be the husband. There can only be one husband in the relationship. And she understands that her husband is the husband and not her. And because she understands this, she's a tremendous blessing to her husband, who before God himself has responsibilities. And he's able to then go and fulfill his responsibilities, and she's able to fulfill her responsibilities. They work together as one flesh. And now this is certainly a blessing to a Christian husband, to a believer. But this type of attitude, again, it's not conditional upon the wife's husband being a Christian. And I'm talking in the Christian context. Of course, this is Old Testament Proverbs. But we're talking about those that are believing in God. And here in this day and age, those that are believing and trusting in God are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so I'll continue to refer to it that way. And so this type of attitude in a wife is certainly a blessing to a Christian husband. But it can also be a blessing to the lost or carnal husband as well. And so that type of attitude is not conditional upon the husband being right with God. And we see that here in 1 Peter 3:1 and 2. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." And so we see here, even a carnal man can be blessed and can be pointed to Christ by a woman who understands the relationship that she needs to have to her God, where that's the primary relationship in her life. And so that's wisdom. We see that with that wisdom, safe within the bounds of God's design, and by that I mean she's in subjection to her husband. She's not chafing on that. She's not allowing the flesh to rule, to fight against that, to take the headship of her home. But she's safe within that design, and within that we see that she finds great liberty to bring tremendous value to her home and to her family and honor to her family name. She's not hindered in any way. When I look at the Proverbs 31 woman, I don't see what the feminists portray as the barefooted, shuttered housewife who's just locked away and has no freedom and no ability to make decisions and no ability to do anything, which is that's the fear-mongering, the fear factor that the world brings out to the woman that would submit herself into the proper order of the home. Rather, what we see is significantly different. We see in verse 14, it says, "She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar." And so she has authority. She's seeking far and wide for the best of the best for her family. And of course, it's clear from the context of this that this woman is with means. And so we see there that she is utilizing that. She obviously has liberty to do that. In verse 16, it says, "She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard." Land sales, agriculture. These are big expenditures. These are huge responsibilities. And this is something that she is going forth, representing her family, and providing these things because she knows that her family has need of these things. And it's obvious here that her husband, again, it says that he doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Because there's not a question as to whether she's going to just take the reins and run with this thing, there is a tremendous amount of liberty there. And we see the liberty that she has in these things that are, I don't know, would you be able to go in and of your own self and go and do a major land deal? That's a level of trust. What a tremendous level of trust we see there. And so that's a real encouragement to me. In verse 24, "She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant." She's involved in business again. And so there's really not an area that she's not touching in and not involved in and not accomplished in, not studied in. This is a very intelligent and assured and wise person who's out there providing value to her family. And so that's all within the bounds of what God has for her. Safe in that design. Verse 27 and 28 says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." And so speaking of children, she relates the wisdom that she's received to her children. And that's demonstrated by their response to her. Again, they're seeing, they respect their mother. They're not bringing shame to her. And we see a similar type of influence in the New Testament. Paul commends Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And so Timothy had a godly heritage. Wise women who understood their position in Christ and directed those children that were in their charge to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we see the result here in Timothy, who Paul called him his son in the Lord. And he was very dear to Paul. And so we see that in no small part, that influence was the result, again, of a wise mother who took the time to point, not only to point her children to Christ, but also to live in accordance with that, to be an example. And so wisdom and humility, also patience and long-suffering. And so a couple examples of that, we see in verse 13, it says, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." In verse 18, "She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night." In verse 19, "She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff." And what I'm getting at here is there's a lot of work getting done. And this type of work, there's no instant gratification. This is the type of work where the resulting benefit are things that are only seen in due time. And of course, the due time we see in verse 21, it says, "She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple." And so she sees the benefit in due time of the effort that she puts forth. This is someone who has a forward-looking vision, which again, that relates to wisdom. But it's also patience in not wanting to see the immediate results, in not wanting immediate gratification. She understands the need to put forth the effort, knowing that in due time, there'll be a reward. And I believe that's also something that's seen with the children. The time is put in because we're looking for that long-term reaping. As Galatians says in Galatians 6, verse 7 and on, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And we see here with a number of these where it talks about her laboring, where she strengtheneth her hands. She's laboring. She's not afraid of that labor because she understands this principle of sowing and reaping. And she's seeking to reap. It says here in verse 25 of our text, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." That doesn't mean that her life is easy. I dare say when I look at all of this, I would imagine there are a lot of challenges for someone who is as engaged in as many things as this woman is. And yet, she is looking forward to rejoicing. And we understand why that is when we're looking to God that this short life and the things that we would consider to be trials now, that they're gonna seem so small in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in us. When we reach eternity, the small things that caused us difficulty are going to be exactly that, so small. They seem large to us today, But in light of eternity, they're so small. And so she's patient and long-suffering, putting forth the effort. She understands the benefit of sowing to the Spirit. And the third thing I want to bring out is compassion and mercy. And so a very busy person. We can get very busy as well. And many times when we get caught up in so many things, we begin to really covet our time and we start to close off from those around us. And yet we see here with her a compassion and mercy where her thoughts are continually of others. In verse 15 it says, "She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens." These are people that are under her charge. These are employees. And yet she understands the servanthood that comes in leadership. And no doubt she carried significant authority within her home, and yet her compassion was for those that had responsibilities to her, and yet she saw a burden for them, for her household, and for those under her charge. In verse 20, it says, "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy." And so she's not above putting forth effort to meet the needs that she sees around her as she's able to do so. Reaching forth. That's an outward focus. That's not a narcissistic me. We called the 80s the me generation. I don't think it's changed, though. I think it's increased in this day and age, that sense of me. And yet she is looking outward at how God is using her as a conduit to bless others. Also, verse 27, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." And so she's looking for these opportunities. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 say it like this: "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And so, in conclusion this morning, as we look at these characteristics, so when we take a step back from just simply the tasks, because we can look at this and say, this person's very busy, this is overwhelming, I don't know if I could do these things. Well, maybe not. But I would submit to you, that's not the point. You know, God works in each one of us differently. In this case, as she looked to God, God allowed her to enter into these many various areas and to be a tremendous blessing. I mean, we look at, we look at Job, and we see he had tremendous wealth. He had tremendous loss, but then he saw tremendous growth and did so many things. And so none of us may ever live the life of Job as men here. And you ladies, you may not live out the life of a Proverbs 31 woman in the sense of these specific tasks. Yet every single one of us has the opportunity to look to that same God. You know, he's the same today as he was then for her. And he can develop in you these same character traits that may bear out as different tasks. It's a different life. It's a different world today. And yet those same character values can be seen in us. And the common thread with all of these things, with her wisdom and humility, patience, long-suffering, compassion and mercy, all of those things, the common thread of all of those is the focus is on God. It's on God and his leading, and it's off of ourselves. And so we see the result of that in verse 30 and 31. Favor is deceitful. You know, you may get compliments. You may get recognition for certain things that you do. But I would dare say that there's probably, for every one of those things, there's probably 9 things that you do that nobody sees and that nobody gives you a pat on the back for. And yet, as it says here, favor is deceitful. It's deceitful because it's based on us. It's my, you know, if I give a compliment to my wife, that's my take on it. You know, from my, through my own lenses, my own prejudices, my own druthers, you know, my own preferences. And so it's deceitful. Yet the praise of the Lord is something that's consistent. And you know, the Lord misses nothing. And he takes great joy in those that walk with him in love and serve him out of love. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And yes, praised by family, praised by husband. He will have a name, the family will have a name, but truly in heaven, there is reward there. These types of service, this is the gold, silver, and precious stones that's talked about in the Bible when it comes to unfeigned faith and service to God. It says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She doesn't have to blow her own horn to get attention, because her values are borne out in what she does. She shows her faith by her works, and those works will not only bring praise to her, but bring praise to God. And so if I could encourage you in anything, first of all, for the men in the crowd, recognize these things. We certainly don't want to be a hindrance to helping our wives develop in these areas. We ourselves need to look to God and to encourage in these areas and to be an encouragement ourselves, to work together. For you ladies in the crowd, to not be discouraged by what seems like an unreachable standard, but to be encouraged that, again, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. God is showing us a little glimpse into the tremendous things that he can do in a life that is fully submitted to God. And so I would encourage you to fully submit yourself to God. Of course, I don't know how that bears out. We see how it bore out in this woman's life. I guarantee you it will bear fruit in your life that will be works that will bring praise of God. And so I hope that's an encouragement to you this morning. I'm certainly thankful for those that have demonstrated these characteristics in my life, the encouragement that it's been to me. I'm so thankful to see that being displayed to my own children and in the children here. It's exciting. And if we would all just submit ourselves to God, we can see the fruit of it and rejoice together in the time to come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we can simply submit ourselves to thy working, and you can do wonderful things in us and through us. Lord, as we reflect upon these wonderful godly characteristics, we think of those ladies in our life that exemplify these characteristics, and pray, Lord, that we might just honor that and praise you for your goodness in working in our lives, in changing us, first in bringing us from death into life in salvation, and then conforming us more and more into the image of thy dear Son. And Lord, help each of us to look to Jesus Christ in all of life's decisions. And I pray now that if there's anything between us and thee, that you would reveal it to us this morning, that we could lay it at thy feet, and that you might direct us and lead us into the way that you would have us to go. And we just love you this morning and pray you'd bless this message to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.